I don't know about you, but that song gets me very emotional. It's a beautiful song. It's a very powerful song. 14 years ago, I was in Glenside Hospital after severe depression journey, and all I could do was speak the name of Jesus, and he brought healing. And at those times, I couldn't pray anything else, but his name has power. So please just remember that. There's power in the name of Jesus. Today's message is, where is the Spirit leading you today? And why? The Bible reading comes from Acts 8, 26 to 40, and it's out of the NLT. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kindrake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of this descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Ostus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to the Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. And we'll invite Pastor Stephen to share. Thank you.
Well, I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's probably not hard to work out which text I'm going to focus on today. Obviously, the Acts reading, where an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. As you've heard, the theme for this morning is, where is the Spirit leading you today and why? The Spirit was obviously leading our friend Philip. An angel of the Lord told him to go to a particular road, and he went. Oh, for it to be that simple. Do you find the directions that the Spirit gives you in your life to always be that clear and simple? Maybe you do, but my experience as a pastor for nearly three decades now tells me that most people don't find it that clear, that simple. Clear directions from the Holy Spirit guiding angels can seem far removed from the experiences of many of us, but it might not be as far removed as you might think, but more on that later. For the moment, let's consider what guidance Philip actually received from this angel. It wasn't exactly precise, was it? I mean, he wasn't told to go to Gaza or to Jerusalem, but to the desert road between them. Now, that road wound its way around for about 100 kilometres. I usually like my directions to be a little bit more precise than that, narrowed down a little more than that. I was once asked to preach at a parish service in a five-point parish. I wanted to know which point I was meant to be preaching at. It wasn't an unreasonable request. Unfortunately, the pastor communicated to me the wrong point. So I was at the congregation, but no one else was. Awkward. In this instance, Philip didn't ask for further clarification, did he? He just went, he just started out, and in the act of going, he came across this Ethiopian eunuch who was returning home from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. And Philip then received a further instruction. The Spirit told him, go to that carriage and stay near it. That was a far more specific, targeted instruction, wasn't it? Firstly, an angel, now the Spirit. Together they were acting like the GPS, the global positioning system that we have in our cars, pinpointing a precise location. We hear no more directions from this SPS, Spirit Positioning System, because having arrived at his destination, Philip now knew what he needed to do. He understood why he'd been guided to this place at this time. He had the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with this Ethiopian eunuch, and so he did. A little guidance had placed him in the right place at the right time. By the end of this encounter, the eunuch was baptized into God's family. It's an amazing story, a wonderful story. But what has it to do with your story? Does the Spirit Positioning System act so clearly in your life? Or do you think this is something that belongs more to the realm of particular Christians with particular roles, like your apostles, your prophets, your evangelists, your pastors? We'll park that for the moment and let's dive a little deeper into the story of Philip. Who was he exactly? See, he's not to be confused with the apostle Philip, who was one of the first 12 disciples. These apostles had a very definite command from Jesus to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But that was a different Philip. This Philip, in our reading, features for the first time in Acts chapter 6. As the number of disciples grew, the problem of providing for the community, especially for distributing food to widows, was becoming a bit of an issue. They needed to structure the church in such a way that they could provide this care for the growing number of people, but they could also still remain focused on proclaiming the gospel. The apostles, they realized that their primary call was to preach and to teach. They had to remain focused on that. So in Acts 6, we hear them say, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Their solution was to appoint 7 men from among the disciples to take on this responsibility, which would free them up to devote themselves to the word of God and to prayer. It was a practical solution, and it seems to be that it's the way our church has operated ever since. We identify what the particular needs might be, and then we structure ourselves accordingly. So we have our church councils, our finance and property groups. We have those who are dedicated to care and a whole range of other things so that we can release the pastors, the leaders in the community to dedicate themselves to God's word. But if the apostles thought that the vital ministry of the word was just their concern, they were about to be taught a very significant lesson. The ministry of the word is the calling of every disciple of Jesus, regardless of what vocations they might be in or what other roles they might be performing. So the apostles, they went ahead and they elected their 7 men to wait on tables, and we hear nothing more about 5 of them. We've only got their names: Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch. But we do hear more about the other two. One of them being our friend Philip, and the other one, my namesake, Stephen. We hear, interestingly, nothing about them actually waiting on tables or distributing food to widows, the primary thing that they were commissioned for. I'm sure they did those things, but we hear about Stephen and Philip doing far more than that. They actively proclaimed the good news of Jesus. You can read about Stephen doing it in the whole chapter 7 of Acts, where he ended up bearing witness to Jesus in front of the Jewish ruling council. It didn't end so well for him because he was killed as a result, becoming martyred for his faith. And this led to a more active persecution from the church and of the church. We might have been tempted to think he should have stayed to waiting on tables, because by speaking up, it led to a very active persecution, and it resulted in all of the disciples, except the apostles themselves, being scattered away from Jerusalem, ironically to the very places where the apostles were meant to proclaim the gospel, to all Judea and Samaria, and we imagine to the ends of the earth. Instead of demoralizing and decimating the church, this persecution served to grow it. We're told those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. This gust of the Spirit released countless disciples like seeds in the breeze. Philip himself, he went down from Jerusalem to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. We read about that at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And then in our text for today, he followed God's prompting to go down to the desert road from Jerusalem to Gaza, where he proclaimed the gospel to this Ethiopian. From there, he went to Azotus before he travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And it would appear that that's where he settled, because right near the end of the book of Acts, he comes up again when the apostle Paul happens to stay with him and his four daughters, who also happen to be prophesying. This was all from a man who'd been commissioned to wait on tables. Now, he had that role, but he was also directed by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to Jesus. We return to our theme. Where is the Spirit leading you today, and why? Maybe if we start with the why, we can perhaps have a better understanding of the where. Why would the Holy Spirit want to lead you anywhere? Can I suggest that we shouldn't complicate it, and that the reason might be as simple as this? There are people in your life who need to hear the good news of Jesus. Are there such people in your life? I'd be very surprised if there weren't. I imagine that if you stop to reflect, that you would have names and faces that come to your mind of those people in your life who you believe need to hear the good news of Jesus. So, who might the Holy Spirit be sending their way to share this good news about Jesus? Do we really need to think that long and hard about the question? Could it be that the Spirit might be sending you, guiding you, positioning you? As I said earlier, clear directions from the Holy Spirit, the guidance of angels, might not be as far removed from your life and you might think. You just might not be conscious of it. The call on all of God's people is to be involved in the ministry of his word as he presents opportunities for it to be shared. It's a mistake to limit this ministry to the ordained minister or some other perceived expert. Sharing God's word is as much about availability as it is about ability. Think of the names and faces of those in your life who you think of that could come to know Jesus and could benefit from that. What are the chances that those names and faces will encounter a pastor in their life at this time who will be able to engage them in a faith conversation? Surely there's a much higher chance of them encountering you. Is there also a chance that you might engage them in a faith conversation? And what might reduce the chance of that happening? Perhaps an unwillingness to do it because of fears of rejection or feelings of inadequacy or a failure to recognise an opportunity when it presents. Plenty of reasons as to why we would not be prepared to share our faith with someone when an opportunity arises. Can I provide this morning just a couple of reasons to encourage you to be better prepared for an opportunity if it presents? One reason, and the most important reason, is that the Holy Spirit is leading you and positioning you in places where you will have the opportunity to share your faith in some way. Why would the Holy Spirit choose you, of all people? Well, because you have access to particular places and people that others might not. That's the reason. And another reason to be prepared is that there's no prescription as to the right words that you have to say in a situation. You don't have to get so worked up about maybe getting it wrong, saying the wrong thing. The Spirit did not direct Philip about what he had to say. Did you notice that the Spirit did not even direct him as to who he was to say it to? No, the Spirit simply directed him, go up to that chariot and stay near it. Literally, cling to it. The same word is used of marriage, where a man will leave his father and mother and be united to, cling to his wife. If the Spirit is directing you to particular people and places, then he's probably calling you to pay close attention in those relationships, to listen, to watch, and to be prepared for what opportunity might present. Philip, he had it a bit easy, we've got to admit, don't we, in this instance, because the eunuch happened to be reading the book of Isaiah at that precise moment. It was a pretty natural entry point to discuss Jesus as the fulfillment of the passage that he was reading at that precise moment. It's not always going to be that easy or obvious, is it? I think we know that. Some entry points might result in dead ends for you and I. On some occasions, it may be just a seed that you're called to sow, and on other occasions, you might actually get to see the harvest. None of that's up to you or dependent on you. It's up to the Holy Spirit who's at work in that place and in that person. And if you're worried about your ability, your capability to speak God's word into a given situation, then remember that the same Spirit who prompted Philip lives in you. The Spirit of the living God is at work in you because he wants the good news of Jesus to reach to the ends of the earth, which includes the end of the earth you happen to be in. That's where the Spirit will lead you. And who knows who you will meet along the way. But whoever that is, may they receive God's blessing from encountering you. God's grace-filled, Spirit-led disciple. May God's Spirit continue to put you in the right places at the right time so that God's will is done and so that his kingdom can come now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.